Our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. This morning, aptly enough, is the day that we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. And here is foreshadowing from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now a reading from the third chapter of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Of course, you all remember the day of October 13th, 1963, right? It's all burned in your memories. That was the day I was baptized, right here in this church, by Pastor Ed Kennedy. He baptized me October 13th, 1963, just shy of my six-month birthday. Just shy of 6 months old. That was an interesting time. You know, we think of baptism as, we think of it as a lot of things. It is definitely a ritual that we bring our children through, or it's a ritual that brings us as adults into communion with other believers. It is a ritual. It is a sacrament, which is defined by ecclesiology of church bodies as that which was blessed by Christ. He was baptized himself, and he blessed that sacrament. He led the first communion, and that is a sacrament for us as well. Baptism in Jesus' day, the baptism of John the Baptist, was for the forgiveness of sins. And we still talk about it as such. We have in our creeds, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, blah, 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 blah. I say blah, 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 not casting derision on creeds, but because baptism, like every ritual, begins with very deep meaning. But as with every ritual, it can become from ritual to habitual, and we can forget that there's more to it than just some religious ceremony. Now, Christ came to John to be baptized. Now, that was a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Now, theologically, can any of you think of a problem with this? Jesus is not a sinner. And John noticed this and says, excuse me, cousin, I know who you are. I know some of what you're going to do, and I don't think I'm equipped to baptize you. I think you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, nope, do it this way for now. This is the way it's got to be. So Jesus recognizes the ritual and establishes that ritual that we still have to this day. But beyond that, what did baptism become after this? It became a statement of faith in Christ. It became a way of identifying ourselves or our children as being claimed by Christ. And so it's more than a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. It's not having your ticket punched for heaven, but it's a deeper commitment. And it has to do with your relation with other Christians, your brothers and sisters, with others in the world, with your relationship with the world itself. And so when we look at baptism, sometimes it's a neat idea to look at what's going on in the world right now and try to think what the world holds for someone like Lily, someone like you and me. Now, on October 13th, 1963, it was an interesting time in our nation. It had been just a month earlier, September 16th, 1963, that a bomb had ripped through 16th Baptist Church down in Alabama, down in Montgomery, and four young girls lost their lives. KKK had blown up a church on Sunday morning, devastated. And what they didn't realize when they did this was that their hatred, when elevated to the national level, wasn't going to rally a bunch of white folks around them, but was going to be so abhorrent that it would rally white folks against them, finally. And while none of the city officials of Birmingham came to the funerals, lots of other people did, or watched on TV. And this was a major part of the awakening of the white church to the incredible injustice that the black church had been struggling against for years. And it was a turning point. And in this congregation, knowing Ed Kennedy in particular, and many of you who were here at the time, I imagine October 13th, 1963, you were beginning to join the civil rights movement in earnest right up here in West Bloomfield, New York. And that had to be on your mind still as you came to church, that others who had just come to church had experienced such horror, and that it wasn't going to be that way anymore. It was a new beginning. October 13th, 1963, in England, on that very day, the day I was baptized, in England that very day, four young lads, hair even worse than mine, got up on stage at the London Palladium, and it was broadcast by ITV, the Independent Television Network, in England. 15 million people watched them, and it was the beginning of what they call Beatlemania. About a month later, November 22nd, 1963. Many of you know that date, and you know exactly where you were and what you were doing on that date, when in Dallas, Texas, our Camelot was destroyed. The handsome young president and his beautiful and the assassination of John Kennedy. So I look back at my baptism on October 13th, 1963, and I look at it through a different lens now. It's a lens that includes civil unrest in the fight for justice, incredible tragedy and a dashing of hopes for young people, many of whom were politically active for the first time, and a cultural sea change that was building across the ocean and would come and wash over all of us. At the time, I don't know that it was seen as significant, because of course we have the luxury of looking back 40, almost 45 years now, and we can see these things. 45 years from now, what will Lily be looking back on? What are the things that are happening right now that are going to still be so significant then? And what will be her role in all of this after her baptism? What will be Lily's role? How will she grow? And what difference will she make in the world now that her parents have made this promise for her? And that is part of what Jesus established in baptism. This sense of being a part of the world and having a place in it, but being a representative of all that is holy, all that is good, all that is righteous, all that is just, and struggling to make your difference in the world, to make God's difference in the world. October 17th, 1993. You remember that day? It was the day you were baptized, Dagan. October 17th, 1993 in Columbia, South Carolina. Most of you have heard this story, and I'm just repeating myself, but I got new blood, new victims here. I'm going to tell them the story. You all know that during Hurricane Hugo, I had been part of the relief effort, 50, 60 hours a week. And it started to weigh on me, much like I think probably Heidi, Steve, Sarah, and Teresa have weighing on them right now, the people they've helped, and they have a concern on their heart, and something that might have been dormant has awakened, and they realize that God's given them hands and feet and a mouth and a mind to help other people. And what does it mean now that you're back in your regularly scheduled life? Well, I did the same thing. I went from being a guy that helped to rebuild homes and coordinated work crews and found people we could help and put food on their table and sat with them when they cried. I went from that back to being a public relations executive for an electric utility. And my job seemed really hollow. So I responded to that by becoming even more hollow. I ran in the other direction and tried to get away from what I knew was coming until finally the week of, it was the week of October 10th, my grandmother up here in Rochester, my grandma, my father's mother, was dying of stomach cancer. She was very near the end. And so I came up at the end of the week, came up on a Friday, spent every possible hour I could by her bedside. She was mostly unconscious at that point. She lifted a little when I came over and whispered that it was me. She hadn't seen me in a long time. I think she probably thought I had her great-grandchild with me, but I didn't. You were too young to travel well. I said my goodbyes, and I got on the last possible plane back to Columbia Saturday night. Arrived in just after midnight Saturday, because Sunday morning was Dagan's baptism at the Catholic Church, St. Joseph's Catholic Church. And so then on October 17th, 1993, I'm all full of emotion with my grandmother passing that day. I believe it was the 17th she died, later in the day, 18th the next day. I know I had said goodbye to one of the most important women in my life at the end of her faith journey. Here I was, welcoming probably the most important woman in my life in the start of hers. And I'm standing in the front of this huge, beautiful church. Now, the Catholics do it right, I got to tell you. They do it right with this kind of stuff. It was gorgeous. And just a place that filled you with awe and wonder. And watch Monsignor baptize my child. And it cracked something open in me that I had paved over, walled off, tamped down, buried deep. It cracked me wide open, where all I could do was sit and think, stand and think, work and think, lay in bed at night, and we had a five-blade ceiling fan above us, and I'm convinced it's God's asterisk over me. Till finally we came out of church one day, and Teresa said, "Give me the keys, I'm driving." And we started riding out through the swamps of South Carolina. I know that sounds ugly, but the swamps of South Carolina are barren and beautiful. And driving along, and she said, "Hey, I know you're chewing on something big. I can tell you are. And you got to let me in on it. I'm your wife. And I burst into tears. And I said, I think I'm being called into the ministry. And it all started with that baptism. It's your fault. And so, my daughter's baptism turned out to be the awakening of me to fulfilling mine and the promise that others had made on my behalf to God right here in this church. And it all began again. Now, I don't really remember what was going on in 1993, but I know we saved some newspapers. And someday it'll be your turn to look at it and figure out what it means. It'll mean something different for you than me. I don't know that you'll be a pastor. I highly doubt it, actually. But each of you gathered here too. If the day hasn't come already, it will. Maybe it's come more than once already. Where you'll sit and you'll think, what does my baptism mean? Now, the name of my sermon is not a slam dunk, and that's an allusion to Glenn and Julie and their college basketball careers. I want to make you feel at home, man, you know? But a slam dunk is this showy moment. It's the finality of it all. When you slam dunk, I never have. When Glenn slam dunks, there's this, pow, I did it. Baptism is not a slam dunk. In our church, we don't dunk at all, we dribble. But a baptism does not seal our fate. It opens our horizons. Each of you have had your horizons open. Those of you who have not been baptized, you will. The baptism of that little child today is all about the future. It's all about the promise that she holds for our world and the difference God wants her to make in it. My baptism was the same idea. Your baptism, the same idea. It's all about the promise God has poured into you and the difference you're going to make in the world and how proud our parent, our God, is going to be of us. Now, I can see why Jesus chose to be baptized by John. Jesus wanted to give us this gift. Jesus didn't want to disregard it at all. And when he came up from the water, we haven't figured out how to do the bird thing here. Maybe that's a good thing, because there is one time when there was a baptism, and this dove came down. And what is dove the symbol of? Peace in the Holy Spirit. Peace in the Holy Spirit. And that dove came down and identified Jesus. And Jesus actually said in the course of his ministry that we would do everything he did and more also in his name. What Jesus was essentially saying was that with every baptism, God says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Your baptism and mine and Lily's is all about the pleasure of God and the love we've been given and the work that lies before us and a time to fulfill. Amen.